In the name of one God who forms and transforms us. Amen. Happy Transfiguration Day. And also to you. Thank you, Bill. Transfiguration Day is celebrated every August 6th, and with rare occurrence happens to fall on a Sunday. And it's one of the rare liturgical feasts that when it falls on a Sunday, it doesn't get transferred to the next day, but supplants the lectionary reading assigned to that Sunday. Just want to clarify in case any of you call us out on switching up the readings. It was a confusing day or week in the office asking which reading are we supposed to be using, but this is the right one. The Transfiguration is in reference to this magnificent mystical experience the disciples receive. They see Jesus in bold, radiant glory, high on the mountaintop, dressed in dazzling white robes, accompanied by Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, at his right and left hand. If the disciples had any doubt, certainly this experience is clear. Jesus is God. The Transfiguration is not about Jesus. Jesus didn't change. Jesus was, is, and always will be fully divine. It is not that Jesus was glorified in this experience. It was the disciples who were transfigured. They received the gift of this mystical experience, and it changed them. It revealed to them something about themselves and their world and the work that God was doing in it and the work they were called to join in. And they held on to that revelation, to that experience, and told no one in those days. Their experience is an invitation to each of us to open ourselves to mystic experiences, to anticipate seeing God's glory in the world revealed to us right in front of our faces, and to treasure our own transfiguring experiences as the Spirit's gift to us. Have you had such a mystical experience? Such a divine revelation that left you, like the disciples, confused and scared, afraid to share it with others? Perhaps you're thinking of a time now, an instance that has formed you, transformed you, revealed something about yourself and about God and what God is calling you to do. Treasure it. Treasure that experience. I'm struck by the ending of this passage. The disciples told no one. They were stunned into silence. At first, Peter doesn't know what to say. He's blurting out things, not knowing what he's speaking about. But at the end of the story, Peter is silent. And at first glance, we might think that he was silenced because he was ashamed, or he was silenced because he was dumbfounded, or that he was shushed by God. But I don't see that in the text. Peter is given an experience of the glory of God, and he goes silent. It's a holy silence. It calls to mind another story of holy silence that we hear in our Advent stories. After Mary learns that she will give birth to the Messiah, the scripture says, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. It's a lot to process. Mary makes the space to process it, to ponder it, to treasure it, and delight in it. It's not her job to explain it, to make sense of it, to tell about it. It's her job to treasure it, to hold it. And I wonder if Peter's silence after the transfiguration is more akin to Mary's silence. He is silent because he's treasuring up this experience of Jesus and Moses and Elijah and the dazzling robes, and he's pondering it in his heart. I wonder if something new is being born in Peter. Peter has been faithfully following Jesus, figuring out his faith, piecing it together from parables and miracles and teachings. But now he receives this mystical experience of Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Or perhaps Peter is aware of the world being born anew. With the incarnation, the kingdom of God has arrived in their very midst, and the old world is fading away while the new world is still yet to be birthed, to paraphrase Romans 8. There's not much one can say to explain or figure out, and it's almost impossible to describe. So Peter simply receives the vision and treasures it in his heart. Perhaps you've had an experience where God's glory was revealed to you. Did you tell someone about it? Did you treasure it in your heart? Delight in it as a gift? That God has come simply to share this experience, personal and unique to you? Such is God's love. Did it come with a clear message and purpose and logical reasoning? Or was it simply a sense of peace and calm, assurance, just when you needed it the most, that didn't make any other sense other than to say this was a gift from God? Sometimes transfiguring experiences of God's glory, don't give us answers, but they do give us God. Beholding the glory of God can be quite disorienting. This is the second nature of this transfiguring experience, that the disciples experience this vision of God and it leaves them dumbfounded. God drawing near to the disciples is described as being overshadowed, overwhelmed by a dark cloud. And a dark cloud is a frequent metaphor for God's presence among God's people. When Solomon dedicates the great temple to God and the high priests march the Ark of the Covenant into the middle of the temple, the Holy of Holies, and now God's presence among God's people will be transferred from the Ark into the temple, it's described as God dwells at the center of the temple as a dark cloud, so dark that the high priests cannot perform their duties. The priests were overwhelmed by the dark cloud, by God's presence. And so too at the transfiguration, the disciples share in the sense of a dark cloud when they behold God's glory. It's disorienting. At first, Peter can't make sense of it, although he tries. He wants to build huts. This is the tradition of the Festival of Booths. Peter is drawing from his tradition to try and make sense of what he's experiencing, but the experience is so large, so otherworldly, that it overwhelms any attempt Peter can to make sense of the experience, forcing him just to experience it. Entering the presence of God is terrifying because it's radically disorienting. We are leaving this world and entering a world beyond time and beyond our understanding. The experience of God doesn't always lead to clear answers. The disciples experience the transfiguration and begin knowing things in a different way. The Spirit reveals God's glory in language beyond words and beyond reason. It's simply an experience. Your transfiguration experience might be a vision that another world is possible, and it doesn't leave you with a strategic vision or a mission statement or action items. It just leaves you with an experience that gives you hope that God's work in the world can lead to this vision becoming real, that another world is possible. God's way of the world is working even amidst this broken world where we live. The disciples were primed for this experience. They've ascended a mountain with Jesus, and they've stayed awake. Although they're weary with traveling with Jesus and meeting the needs of so many people that they encounter and answering questions from them, they stay awake, and they are commended by Luke for this. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory. The disciples are often painted as dense, obtuse, brash, impulse-guided disciples, but here the gospeler says that they did the right thing, and because they did the right thing, because they maintained this presence with Jesus, carved out space for it, they were given this experience. We too are called to make time to be present with Jesus. Even though this world is weary and weary making, and we are weighed down with grief, we must take time to simply be present with God. It's a very hard thing to do. Do it anyway. You might find time for yourself by going for a hike. Going up a mountain still works. Maybe for you it's going out alone surfing or jogging or bike riding, figuring out a way to separate yourself from this world that you might experience something of God's world that God is revealing to you. Maybe your transfiguration doesn't happen in isolation, but in a crowd. While serving others, you might have an experience of the divine glimpsing that glory that God promises for this world and for each of us. Maybe it's not an isolated experience, but an experience over time, a daily or weekly spiritual practice that slowly reveals God's glory and slowly transfigures you and reorients you. The Spirit is eager to share with each of you God's glory in this world. So prime yourself for a transfiguring experience. Have that experience and treasure it. Make time for yourself to be present to Christ who ushers in the kingdom of God and dwell in that radical revisioning of society that sees the world as God intended, as God hopes. And when your personal transfiguration is over, as you leave that experience and descend the mountain, hold on to that experience as God's gift to you that God wanted to share with you, unique and personal to you. Whether it is through reflecting on a previous experience you have had, or opening yourself to a new experience, my hope is that you experience the transfiguring glory and grace of Jesus Christ. Happy Transfiguration Sunday. Amen.